The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy, The Comforter in Biblical Prophecy, by David Keaston. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. From John 14, verses 16, 17, and 26. In the words of St. John, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This Comforter I understand to be divine science. Mary Baker Eddy, from Science and Health, page 55, line 27. What made Christ Jesus unique? Was it not his ability to make the divine law practical in the human experience through his healing ministry? Have Christians followed his example and healed as Jesus healed? Why not? How could they? He left no record of his Christianly scientific methodology. Why must his method be Christianly scientific? How else can one demonstrate infallibly divine healing if their method is not consistent and based upon a divine principle that is repeatable? Christians have not understood the divine method employed by Jesus in the healing of the sick and sinning, or they would have been healing in his name during the past 1600 years. This is not because they didn't want to heal, but because they could not. There was nothing to scientifically show them how to accomplish what he did. All dedicated Christians would love to heal as Christ healed, for that is the nature of being Christian. Christ Jesus distinctly explained why he did not leave this scientific roadmap showing how to achieve the healing results that he performed and imparted to his followers. From John, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Christ Jesus said he would send another Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, a different representative from God. Had he meant himself personally returning, he would have indicated unequivocally that he would return in the flesh. However, the Christ is without beginning of days, eternal, the Spirit of Truth. We read that in Jesus' ascension, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight, and that his return would be in like manner as ye have seen him go. Acts 1, verse 11. Here, the word manner in the original Greek text was tropos, and not morpha, which might have indicated a human appearing. How did he go? In this event, Jesus' body was dematerialized and disappeared. The cloud symbolizes the etherealizing that took place. The mental nature of the disappearing and consequently the mental nature of the expected reappearing. Any reappearing of the Christ would therefore be expected to be in the manner in which Jesus finally disappeared. A non-material return in the form of the divine science of mind, spirit, corresponding with Jesus' prophecy in John 14, verse 17. See Amplified Version. The Jewish thought rejected the Christ then. They weren't ready for it, seeth it not. They were too materially minded. They crucified him. So, this Comforter had to be for a different time and a different people, when thought was more receptive to the spiritual idea, to the idea of God as love, and God as mother. In talking to the Jews, Jesus said to them, from Matthew, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." What comforts better than a mother? The Comforter must necessarily be feminine in nature. What did Jesus allude to in Luke 13, verses 34 and 35? Was it not that the Pharisaical thought of his time rejected any concept of God or God's representative as mothering? The word nation is translated in Strong's, a non-Jewish people, Gentile, heathen. The Gentiles had a more receptive thought than the Pharisees or Sadducees. The promised kingdom of God was to be taken from the unworthy, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and given to that people bringing forth the fruits thereof, the Gentiles, through the Holy Ghost or Comforter. However, because of the gross materialism of the age, it was necessary for a period of suffering to take place before Israel's thought would be receptive to the Christ idea and could be blessed. Note, Israel, as God's chosen people, is not exclusively the Jews, as is conventionally thought today. It is only within the past 50 years that Israel, as a nation-state, was formed, and the Jewish people as a whole were thought of as the state of Israel. Israel, as a people, have always been God's chosen, but have not always been exclusively Jews, nor are they today. Jesus had just told his disciples that the second coming would be accompanied by the resurgence of spiritual power. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Also, in Matthew 24, verse 30, we read regarding the second coming, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven," which again suggests a mental reappearing. When Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you," Luke 17, verse 21, he was indicating it to be a conscious realization of its presence. The clouds, again, indicate the transcendent nature of the reappearance. This Comforter would necessarily be the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, but would be in a different appearing than that of the personal Jesus returning in the flesh. In Strong's Bible Dictionary, we find that the original words translated Spirit of Truth are literally the science of truth. So, Christ Jesus prophesied of Christian Science, and this is not the only place he does so. See parables of leaven, lost coin, etc. The only place in the Gospel of John that Jesus mentions he is personally coming again is John 14, verse 28. Is he not referring here to his crucifixion and resurrection? All other references are to the Spirit of Truth in the line of prophetic utterances. 100 years ago, Mary Baker Eddy discovered and brought forth this divinely demonstrable principle of metaphysics that enables all to heal and be healed as the Master practiced in his sojourns. Her demonstrations, as were his, were not due to erudition, but rather inspiration. The divine anointing of one chosen by God to deliver suffering mankind out of sinful sense and into the glories of the kingdom here and now. Then and today, these messengers were rejected, spat upon, and crucified. Why is this? Has not mankind suffered enough? History does repeat itself. Whenever mankind has had enough suffering, they finally turn to God, but always as the last resort. Reception of spiritual truth has always met with the same response, whether it is 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, or today, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is amazing that God is as patient with us as he is. Prophecy is one of the most enigmatic topics for the average layperson. The greatest value in understanding the Bible comes through inspiration. The literal interpretation of the scriptures divulges little as to the true meaning, and virtually nothing with regard to prophecy, as prophecy is generally couched in symbols. The book of Revelation was written in the format of Hebrew vision literature, resplendent in allusions to Old Testament prophecy and symbology. Christ Jesus, as one chosen by God, a witness for truth, was prophesied and referred to throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. As any honest investigation of the scriptures will affirm, there is prophesied and referenced a second light, a second witness, uniformly from Genesis to Revelation, paralleling that of the first, our Master, in virtually every instance. See Genesis, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Micah, Zechariah, Matthew, John, Revelation. Is not this second light or witness the second advent of the Christ, the Comforter, or Holy Ghost of which Christ Jesus spoke? Most Bible scholars agree this is so. Even the book of Barnabas confirms this. See Apocrypha. It is quite interesting that the discovery of Christian Science and the advent of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures concurs precisely with the dates prophesied by Daniel of 1866 and 1875. Coincidentally, the major dates of prophetic fulfillment are also corroborated in the design and construction of the Great Pyramid, long believed to have significance in the line of biblical prophecy. See The Great Pyramid by Piazzi Smith. From John, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. From Science and Health, our Master said, but the Comforter shall teach you all things. When the science of Christianity appears, it will lead you into all truth. The Sermon on the Mount is the essence of this science, and the eternal life, not the death of Jesus, is its outcome. From John, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. From Science and Health, the term Christian Science was introduced by the author to designate the scientific system of divine healing. The revelation consists of two parts. One, the discovery of this divine science of mind healing through a spiritual sense of the Scriptures and through the teachings of the Comforter as promised by the Master. 2. The proof, by present demonstration, that the so-called miracles of Jesus did not specially belong to a dispensation now ended, but that they illustrated an ever-operative divine principle. The operation of this principle indicates the eternality of the scientific order and continuity of being. Mary Baker Eddy discovered this practical truth and healed a multitude of sufferers through her demonstration of divine law, and then established her discovery in a form that would enable millions to accomplish similar results. The resistance of the carnal mind to this final revelation of truth and its demonstration has endeavored to keep this practical example hidden and misunderstood for decades. After intensive study of the Scriptures to discover and understand more of this law, she put her findings to the test and healed cases of disease as they had not been healed since the days of Jesus and the apostles. Next, she undertook the laborious task of committing to the pages of a book her sublime discovery. And thus, today in her revelation of provable spiritual law, may we find the realization of Isaiah's dreams, of Jeremiah's vision, and John's apocalyptic promise. It was her fidelity to our Master and her spirituality that enabled her to effect so many instantaneous cures. She remarked that as Christians, we owe endless homage to Christ Jesus for his marvelous example to mankind. The following several paragraphs are taken from the writings of Paul R. Smiley. See Bibliography. God told John and Daniel that they could not write the revelation of the book, Science and Health, that they saw in visions. Daniel 12, verses 4 and 9, and Revelation 10, verses 2 and 4. God told them it was not time, and that they were not the ones to write it. If God knew they were not the ones, and it was not the right time, then obviously God knew exactly who was in mind to do that work. If anyone could have discovered Christian Science, then why didn't these men do it? They were certainly more spiritually minded than the Christian Scientists of our generation. God had special tasks for them, but it was not to write the book. Mrs. Eddy said, "To one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. Woman must give it birth." Retrospection and Introspection, page 26, line 23. Mrs. Eddy said it must be in the latter days of the 19th century. She even tells us that 1866 was the date of its discovery, the fulfillment of Daniel's dates and John's apocalypse. It had to be a woman in her time. Many men loved to think themselves as spiritual equals with Mrs. Eddy, and even greater than the greatest woman who ever lived, as intelligent and wise as she, and more so. Mrs. Flavia Knapp related to a group of Christian Scientists what Mrs. Eddy had told her household about how she, Mrs. Eddy, had written Science and Health. She would write as fast as she could, throwing the written sheets on the floor as she finished them. Then, after a while, she would gather up the sheets, number them, and rewrite them. One of the group listening to Mrs. Eddy asked her, "Why, Mother, if God dictated Science and Health to you, why did you rewrite the pages?" Mrs. Eddy answered to the effect that she had to rewrite the pages so that we could understand them. She had to translate them from the pure language of spirit to a language that the human mind could understand. Could just anyone have done this? Mrs. Emily B. Hewlin, CSD, while she was living in Brookline, said that one day while she was visiting at Pleasant View, she and Laura Sargent were in the room with Mrs. Eddy, and Mrs. Eddy said, "Girls, would you like me to talk absolute Christian Science to you?" They eagerly answered, "Yes, Mother." Then Mrs. Eddy began to talk, and they could not understand one single word which she said, although they were seasoned workers and teachers of Christian Science. See Science and Health, page 114, line 32. The statement, "Anyone could have discovered Christian Science or written Science and Health," is a lie. It is the red dragon in operation. It is hatred of womanhood. It is scholastic theology saying that men only can interpret spiritual things. It is an attempt of MAM, malicious animal magnetism, to reverse God's promise in Genesis 3, verse 15. It is intellectualism, Jesuitism, attempting to rob her of her place and put power in the hands of those claiming to sit in her seat of teaching and authority. The Jewish people were destroyed by the Romans after they rejected our Lord. The nation of Judah went into captivity for not listening to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. The Egyptians suffered plagues for resisting Moses. Rejection of Elijah brought drought and famine for the entire nation. We forfeit the influence of divine love as a nation and as a church when we reject God's messenger. Who do we think we are that we can reject God's representative and escape the punishment for this original sin? This nation's great eastern harbor has its lady with a lamp. But there is another harbor, a harbor of refuge from every form of evil, standing at the gateway of the land of Christian Science. Here, too, stands a lady with a lamp. Her work is without parallel in human history. In the minds of many Christian Scientists, these sentiments are misconstrued as deification. But this is not possible when we realize we are speaking about the greatest woman who ever lived on this planet. She is the greatest example of womanhood and motherhood the world has ever known. End of quotes from Paul Smiley. From Science and Health. When God called the author to proclaim His gospel to this age, there came also the charge to plant and water His vineyard. By thousands of well-authenticated cases of healing, she and her students have proved the worth of her teachings. These cases, for the most part, have been abandoned as hopeless by regular medical attendants. Few invalids will turn to God till all physical supports have failed, because there is so little faith in His disposition and power to heal disease. Beyond the frail premises of human beliefs, above the loosening grasp of creeds, the demonstration of Christian mind healing stands a revealed and practical science. It is imperious throughout all ages as Christ's revelation of truth, of life, and of love, which remains inviolate for every man to understand and to practice. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness, and repeating itself, coming now, as was promised aforetime, to preach deliverance to the captives of sense, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. From James, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. From John, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. This book is a testimony to what can be accomplished by putting off self, handling the resistance to the Christ consciousness, and by putting on the spirit of love, holiness, being a transparency for truth. The healing then follows naturally, effortlessly, when one is aligned with God. During her sojourn here, the sick, the sinful, the dying, one and all, came to her to be healed, and she healed them all. It was as natural for Mrs. Eddy to heal as it is for us to breathe, as you have seen in the pages previous. Dr. John M. Tutt made the following comments at the annual meeting of the Mother Church in 1964. Her discovery of Christian Science through divine revelation was complementary to Christ Jesus' teaching and practice. She was herself a humble disciple of Christ Jesus, and she told her students to follow her only as she followed Christ. In following this leader, Christian Scientists find themselves in complete harmony with their Master and the scheme of salvation. Throughout his mission and ministry, Christ Jesus suited action to his words. He said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Mrs. Eddy subjected her discovery of Christian Science to almost 10 years of proof in healing the sick and saving the sinner before she published Science and Health. From Science and Health, "Science is an emanation of divine mind and is alone able to interpret God aright. It has a spiritual and not a material origin. It is a divine utterance, the comforter which leadeth into all truth. In the words of St. John, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This comforter I understand to be divine science. I remember the day when I was first brought in contact with one who had been healed by the reading of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. She had been an invalid in bed for about 15 years, and a friend had gone to the college and bought Science and Health and read to her just a few pages. Think it was 15 pages. And she rose up and walked. Her eyes and other claims had been healed also. As I walked into Hawthorne Rooms this Sunday, I saw a beautiful young lady go towards Mrs. Eddy and embrace her. She walked as though she was on air. She was so happy, and she was telling of her healing by her friend reading to her from Science and Health. It was a happy time for us all. I knew that Science and Health could heal, but this was the first one that I had seen. Now I know it is the Christ in that book that heals all mankind." Miscellaneous Documents, Carpenter, page 45. See also Hebrews chapter 5, Amplified Version.